I'm Rich Egger, and this is Emphasis. Today's guest is Timothy Collins of the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs at Western Illinois University. We're going to talk about sustainability and the series of sustainability brown baggers at Western during the next couple months. First, though, what do you feel was accomplished with the sustainability brown baggers from the fall semester?
Well, I think a couple of things were accomplished, Rich. I suppose in terms of numbers, our attendance was up. We averaged in the neighborhood of 25 participants per round bagger. There was a low of about 17 or 18, but a high of about 42, I think. So I think we've generated a lot of interest on campus. I think we've generated a lot of interest among our students. And more importantly, I suppose, we're generating interest among our speakers. I think this may be the first time I've actually had people volunteer, and I'm grateful for that.
It always makes the job a little easier when people are volunteering, huh?
Yes, it does. And, I think that it's an indication of how much sustainability has risen in the consciousness of people across campus. And I think maybe it also says something that this series does get a little bit of attention.
Is it just attracting people from campus, or are you seeing people from the larger community too?
I think the larger community attendance was down just a little bit last year, but we still had two or three people at each of those sessions instead of maybe five or six. There could be any number of reasons for that, but cross-campus attendance has increased. And, of course, the class is offered as part of the bookends courses of the environmental studies class. That is the 201 class for students who are entering the environmental studies minor, and the 401 class, which is for people who are exiting the environmental studies minor.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if teachers are scheduling classes around this or assigning students to attend a few of these per semester.
Yes, from time to time that does happen, and I think it's a really good thing where we can intersect with classes. Of course, you know, in a university trying to schedule anything during the daytime or the evening for that matter, you're going to conflict with classes, and that's where we sometimes run into problems getting speakers, but from time to time that has happened.
You know, I've asked you, you've come in the past and we've talked about the sustainability brown baggers, and I've asked you what sustainability means to you. Do you feel that definition is evolving as you host these series of brown baggers?
Yes, it does. And early on in this series, where we did have a teacher who was assigning her students to come and do a short report during the semester, one of the I don't want to say problems exactly, but let's talk about classroom issues or classroom definitions. That she ran into with her students was, well, what is this thing? Everybody gives a different definition of it. So, yes, I think that the definition probably has modified. We've been doing this for about 7 years now, a little over 7 years, in fact. And there has been a fairly long time discussion of, for example, climate change and global warming. And I think that that has risen in people's minds of late, especially the past 5 years, 6 years with the Katrina storm, which we discussed, the hurricane that we discussed last semester, with Sandy, which, of course, just hit this past fall, another tremendous storm that hit a major metropolitan region of the United States. So that's one thing. Wildfires in Australia because of temperatures that daytime temperatures that have been reaching 120, 125 degrees there in places that hadn't seen that. Was listening to a feature today on the radio, how many record highs we set across the country this past year. So I think climate change has brought this to the fore. Also, I think that the university is working more for sustainability. We've put in the green building. The Multicultural Center is what they call a LEED certified, so it meets certain standards for sustainability. We see recycling bins being put in around the campus. We've seen things happening all over our facilities in terms of new chilling systems that are more efficient, all sorts of things like that. very exciting stuff.
The idea of climate change, you know, that really dates back probably some 30 years, but it was referred to as global warming initially, and that really has evolved into, rather than it just being warmer temperatures, we're seeing more extreme climate events, if you will, and it's become known as climate change now rather than global warming.
Yes, and part of that might be a political correctness, because global warming does engender a strong reaction from people. And what we've learned, I think, is that it is warmer in some places, but it may be colder in other places. So climate change may be a better name for it.
So let's talk a little bit about the brown baggers. Where do they take place and what time do they begin?
Okay. Well, we run on Tuesdays from 12:30 right after lunch or right during lunch to 1:30. And we are on the fourth floor west side of the Malpass Library, and that's government documents. And we have a very nice space there that we've been in for a little over a semester. We like it a lot, and it works very well.
Most of your speakers are on campus and in the room where the presentation is taking place, but it looks like you're doing something a little bit different to start things off on January 29th. Can you explain what you're doing?
Sure. Every semester, or at least every year, we like to do something a little bit different and with the series. And in the past year or so, we've started doing webinars. And what that has opened up to us is a possibility of bringing in a speaker or two from off campus. So our first session that we'll be kicking off with on January the 29th will be with Aaron Viles, who will be delivering a webinar. Aaron is the deputy director of the Gulf Restoration Network, and that organization has been very closely following the effects of the BP oil spill that occurred a couple of years ago. So we've asked him to attach with us via a webinar, and we're going to see how that works, first time that we've ever done it. Some of our other speakers include Gordon Rands, who's very active in sustainability here on campus, and he's installed green power in his house. So he's going to share some of his experiences with that.
Yeah, why do you suppose more homeowners have not tried some of the methods that Gordon is going to be talking about? You know, geothermal and solar, those still seem to be kind of experimental.
They're experimental, partly, I think, not in the sense that they are new. Many of these technologies have been around for a while, but some of them can be particularly expensive, and one needs to be very careful in one's personal expenditures, I suppose, about laying out. And people who are really, truly committed to this, and I admire Gordon for it, have decided to pay the extra because, related to global warming, they're trying to lessen that so-called carbon footprint that is released into the atmosphere.
If we can jump back to the first speaker, Aaron Viles, he's going to be talking about the Gulf oil spill. It seems like that's almost disappeared from the public consciousness, doesn't it?
Yes, except for maybe an occasional news report that you hear, like we did, I think, last fall about recognition of damage to the ocean floor. But the cleanup is ongoing. From this, some of the damage has been ongoing. I understand, for example, that some wildlife populations, especially birds, have been tremendously diminished in the wake of the spill. So the recovery is still going on, and we thought that a few years out, it would be a good idea to take a look at it.
You want to highlight some of the other speakers that you'll have coming in?
Sure. Mary Lorline from Western Illinois University's Agriculture Department is going to be talking about a cool subject, what I'd like to call it, LEDs, light-emitting diodes, and how they offer a bright future for sustainable lighting. LEDs are cool because they don't let off much heat, and they also are cool environmentally because they don't use much electricity. So she's going to be talking about them in general and also how they're going to be applied in agriculture. Fred Utsi from our Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs and one of our former employers who's now working on – or employees who's now working on her doctorate at University of Wisconsin, Loka Ashwood, are going to be talking about a project that they've been doing out at Spring Lake. And Spring Lake, of course, is vital to our Macomb water supply. And there have been some pollution issues with it. So they have been working with citizens around how to address some of those watersheds issues. Another person I admire very much is Dan Morehouse, who's an environmental activist. He's the president of Environmentally Concerned Citizens. And he is going to be talking – basically, the title is Musings of an Environmental Activist. But he's going to be talking about some of the things that he's done with the Audubon Society, with Prairie Land Conservancy, with other groups that he's associated with. So it gives us a citizen's perspective to our participants. And then Diane Sandage from our Sociology and Anthropology Department here at the university is going to be our last speaker of the semester on March the 26th. And this is one of the things we like to do is ramp up to the Environmental Summit, which is April the 3rd. So she's going to be picking up the university theme of making peace with the planet. And one of her interests, or several of her interests, are spirituality and environmental thinking and how we approach our attitudes toward the planet. So I think that's going to be a really good presentation. She's very excited about doing it.
Is the schedule available online?
It will be shortly. I hope that it will be available through our WIU sustainability page. So if you go to WIU's homepage and click at the bottom on sustainability, you should be able to find directions there.
Many of these discussions seem to focus on sort of larger issues. But you do, as you mentioned, you have the one that focuses on Spring Lake. Why did you choose to run with such a local topic?
Well, I think it's important because it is part of Macomb's water supply. I think it's also a small study of how people in a particular small area can be interested in a natural feature that has important ramifications for their lives and can be worked with – so people can be working together to help repair some of the environmental damage that's occurred because of soil runoff and some fertilizer. I think especially phosphate is an issue in that lake. So it's kind of a small case study of a region that's really important to the larger city of Macomb.
And if I recall correctly, they're trying to get farmers to maybe change practices a little bit without it costing them anything extra. So they're helping to protect the environment without it hurting their bottom line.
Yes, and that would include, for example, putting in grass filter strips or maybe planting some trees in some places. And the longer-term benefit to the farmers then is that that waste runoff from the soil or from their farmland is stopped, but also they stop soil erosion. So when they use those types of preventative measures, it can, in the longer run, save them some costs.
Timothy Collins is with the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs at Western Illinois University. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Rich. Thank you.
For Tri-State's Public Radio News, I'm Rich Egger.